Okay, people always ask about downstrokes. How do you do them? How do you do them so fast? When you're coming straight in out of the cold, I can't do downstrokes very fast at all. Like even now, sitting here with the radiator on, I can't do them. But on the stage, with the adrenaline rush and the audience and everything, you can do them faster and faster. But if you do want to practice them, remember downstrokes sound completely different at up and down and up and down. Because if you're playing down, down, right, it's completely different than playing down. There's a different sound altogether, so you're going to get just a different sound in the centre. So I would say practice them. Just everything that you practice, a scale even. Just practice it doing downstrokes rather than up and down. Just practice the scales downwards all the time. And I would say do little sections at a time, and not too fast, because you can't do it fast immediately. Suppose you play it. That's about an average kind of speed to practice that, and keep breaking it up in between with the doodling, and start even slower than that, even if you like. Practice that maybe 20 or 30 times, cross it off the list, I would, and then do it slightly faster. Good with a drum machine if you've got a tempo thing built on, so you can build a little bit. And then do that 20 or 30 times, click the drum machine a bit faster. And just build it up till you get up, you know. Which is not as fast as what we could do if we were doing it on the stage. But that kind of thing, just practice it slowly, do it 100 times, and again, a little bit faster, a little bit faster, a little bit faster. And anything that you practice, just do it with downstrokes, like I said before, scale, you know, instead of, just do it. Just keep it all down, and then eventually everything you're doing will be downstrokes, if that's what you want, mate. But I think that's the best way. Just do it dead slow, build up, build up, build up, build up, build up. Don't get frustrated. Right, so what a lot of people are asking about is this plectrum thing that I've got. The reason I started using it, because doing downstrokes, I just kept dropping the plectrum. I just can't play with the plectrum properly. Just a thing stuck on my finger like that. It means I can do things like I can hold the microphone without actually putting the plectrum down, and do things like with the right hand, like for example, this riff that we used to do in the past for the intro used to be now if I'm doing it with that plectrum, I would have to keep it steady like that, but with this I can do this. Which I'm not actually doing, I'm just doing this, but it looks quite impressive on the stage. Well, when you're far enough away anyway. That kind of thing. Right, so in the studio, when I don't have to have the plectrum thing stuck on my finger like doing the live gigs, I usually use a 5 pence for the guitar solos, especially for split harmonics. I've took my glasses off because I don't actually wear the glasses in the studio. So with the split harmonics, I try and get the 5 pence in between dead level with thumb and the first finger. So instead of playing, I'm actually playing now. It doesn't always work, but that kind of sound. So if you've got to go like, some of the strings and then use split harmonics on the other part, play the same thing, can sound a lot more interesting, I think.
Yeah, so I use it, I don't use any pebbles or anything. I've got a little tube screen of pebble that just gets used for the ends of the songs, just for the woo, and it gets turned on. And I use a Marshall amplifier, a little bit bigger than this one. This is my little practice amp. This is just like, it's really distorted this, because it's not, so it's not a normal sound. I mean, what I'm playing now, that is really. That's more distorted than I would actually be. I use a JCM 800, 100 watt Marshall top 2203 model. And you can get different valves and the groove tubes inside. And I think they're number fives. I know, very boring for lots of people watching. But and it's a 4x12 Marshall cabinet, usually. And I use a Tramtec wireless system for live. I don't usually like wireless systems, to be honest, because they do change the sound. But the one I've got actually enhances it, and it's dead cheap. It was only a couple of hundred quid, and I know wireless systems are really expensive. But in the studio or anywhere or in a small place, I'd rather just use a guitar lead, to be honest. Because it does alter the sound, like I said. Alright, I'm going to talk about this guitar, my guitar, which I've had for about 30 years. The first guitar I got was a guitar called an Audition from Woolworths, a shop in department store in England, which is £14.99 if I remember rightly. This cost about 200 quid, which is about $400 US, about 30 years ago. I bought this from my brother. It was his guitar, my older brother, it was Sunburst. Originally the colour, and it changed to red, and then it got yellow the night before we played the 100 Club in London. And I remember doing the gig at the 100 Club, and spitting was very popular then. I don't condone that kind of behaviour, but it had to get resprayed because of all the spit, believe it or not. So it's not an original yellow one, it's American. I picked 1978 Telecaster, and it's as heavy as hell. And action is quite high. I think it's best to play with the action as high as you can possibly manage, to be honest, because you get more ring out of the strings. Ernie Ball or Daddario, either is fine, starting with a 10. Regular, slinky strings, not too light. I just think the harder it is to play, the more you have to put in the guitar playing, especially with a Telecaster. I think, you know, you have to put a lot of work into it, but I think the result shows sometimes. It's really a rhythm guitar. I mean, that's why I'm a rhythm guitar player. I've never pretended to be a guitar player or a singer. The pickups, this pickup has been changed. Right, this is it's called a Seymour Duncan Alnico pickup, and it's a lead pickup which it looks exactly the same as the original Telecaster pickup, but it's just got a little bit more sustain, and a little bit more drive, and less unnecessary squealing on stage. So it's the same things in all the Telecaster, just with a lot more oomph in it. That pickup is just turned off. I mean, this is on. Just have that turned off as an on and off switch. It's a very mellow kind of pickup, that, which I wouldn't use anyway. The neck is on the American Telecasters is a lot thicker, I think, than the new ones. And the weight is heavier. The bridge is different. This is the original saddle bridge here. And all these frets have been filed down, so I can still manage with this high action without the frets cutting my fingers off. Another reason I use this guitar is that if you tuned it up and dropped it down the stairs, it would still be in tune, to be honest. And I mean, that's not something I make a habit of, but I live in a flat anyway, but anyway. So playing on the stage when people are hanging on here, and it still stays in tune. I always think that guitars that have the machine heads, these things, tuning knobs all on one side, seem to stay in tune easier. Might just be my imagination, I don't know. And this neck is bothered on with screws here, unlike some guitars like a Gibson SG. And the only really one problem I had is when it arrived at an airport in Heathrow Airport. I'll not tell you the name of the airline. I give the initials, it's A&D. But the neck was completely off by about that much. And it split a little bit, but I managed to push it back down and screw it up again. It's actually a little bit better now, to be honest, it's in tune even better. But yeah, it's just such a strong, it's like playing a telegraph pole, right? It's really, really hard work. The real reason I started with a Telecaster is because of Wilco Johnson, guitar player from Dr. Feelgood, who's a huge inspiration. He's just like, for me, seeing Wilco Johnson with Dr. Feelgood completely changed my life. So he was the main reason. And he was the same kind of thing as me. He's like a rhythm thing and the choppy kind of like riffs that I do, like Idle Gossip, all that kind of thing. All based and copied from him, so he's the reason. And I think in the beginning, early days, was like records I've got left over at my house from my older brother, like the Shadows and the Beatles and things like that. And then I really got into early Status Quo, to be honest, learning these things, these didda-didda things, which I got, that kind of thing. That changed my life as well. And there's loads of songs with it's in She Goes to Females. Loads of songs that we do with that diddy-diddy thing. And Chuck Berry, you know, anything by Chuck Berry was like fantastic for me. All that kind of thing. And again, he's doing okay. Guitar players, yeah, Hank Marvin. Guitar players that I like, the guy from I think the best punk guitar player was the guy from Peter and the Chest Tube Babies, Derek, to be honest. Guitar player from Roots is fantastic, and Jake Burns, Little Fingers, and there's so many fantastic guitar players. First time I saw Sex Pistols was last year. Unbelievable, one of the best guitar playing ever, sound wise especially. I prefer Telecaster because it doesn't have the right overdriven Les Pauly kind of bottom notes, because I play a lot of rhythm. And this is not quite as distorted as some. It's not really, I know it's got used as a country guitar a lot. I mean, I'm not a country kind of fan, but I like that little bit of cleanness in with the dirty kind of sound, you know. I mean, I can't really do it on this arm, but if it's too much overdriven, it'll be like, which is just too much. But if I just knock the overdrive off a little bit, it's great for dampening, like that kind of thing, which I like a lot.